Hi, I'm Pastor Chris Gordon of the Escondido United Reformed Church. We invite you to join us for worship on Sundays, 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. We preach Jesus Christ from all of Scripture. The Bible in the Escondido United Reformed Church is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Visit us on the web at escondidourc.org. Our address for worship is 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. And now here is our program, Abounding Grace.
Choosing this day whom we will serve. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're grateful you've taken time out of your day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we really do want to invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. Again, that web address is agradio.org. You can subscribe through iTunes. There's so many resources there for you. Maps to churches in your areas. You can write to us and you can support us if you wish. 100% of your support goes to the cost of the program, and it keeps these radio programs coming to you. So we'd like to thank you in advance for that. We have been looking for some months now at the book of 1 Corinthians, and wow, what a book. A challenging book, somewhat painful to go through just because it really does challenge me as a pastor. It challenges all churches to evaluate whether their ministries are in correlation with, in conjunction with, and squaring with the design that the Lord inspired for us in the Scriptures. And in what we have before us today, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is asking the basic question, what are we building with? If you're using the wrong materials to build with, if you're building with things that hurt the foundation, that tear down the structure, that tear down the body of Christ, the Lord has a severe warning for us. All of us need to take heed how we build. I take that and I receive that myself. What are we building with? Well, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that we would have maturity in looking at the design as God has given it, and that we would understand that it has always been by the foolishness of the message preached that God has chosen to save those who believe. So here is now the message from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, discerning a lasting ministry. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready. For you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word. Well, it is absolutely true that when we become desensitized to sin, the lines of morality, as that happens, the lines of morality get pushed farther and farther and farther back. And when you begin to think about what happens to the next generation comes, and that's all they've known. That's all they've known is this line getting pushed farther and farther back, so that now that is the accepted cultural norm, isn't it? That same phenomenon is true with Christian ministry. What we've been learning in Corinthians is that there is a design. The sky's not the limit. There is a mission and a mandate that Christ gave to his church. There is something that he put in place. There is even a means and a method that he put in place for how the ministry is to be carried out, how it is to be done, how we do ministry. But just like with basic morality, when over time we become desensitized to God's design, what do you think happens? Well, where does that line go? The line gets keep pushed back further and further and further and further. And like with homosexuality, you come to a time where it becomes incredibly difficult to say and speak against ministries that are against God's. You feel the pressure. You know the pressure. It's a real pressure. And if we're silent about that, the next generation comes along and they just think that what is this now aberrant form of Christian ministry is the accepted cultural norm. It therefore must be God's design. And that can happen just within a few generations. In a few generations, everything could be lost. Now, why do I raise that tonight? Why do I say that tonight? Well, this is why the book of 1 Corinthians was so needed. This is why the book of 1 Corinthians had to be given. Paul is really, in this book, giving us a massive deprogramming that was already needing to take place in the first century. He was deprogramming a church that had fallen into the world trying to be culturally relevant. In other words, Paul was putting a halt on the tactic of the devil to assimilate worldliness into the Christian ministry and make it mainstream. That's what was going on. And tonight, we really are approaching the end of this first section in Corinthians, and Paul is beginning to summarize. That's why you'll notice some repetition here. Summarize many of the themes that he's been saying and dealing with to now again touch on them, but to have people think about the consequences of this. Listen, this has serious consequences. This is not just, oh, come on, don't be some stick in the muds. No, this is serious. There are serious consequences when the ministry is not being followed as Christ has designed it. I want everyone to look down at verse 13 and you'll see this. And this is a verse I'm sure in the course of your lives you've read and you've been terrified of it. And I could probably assume that you understood it all out of context and wrong, but it's been an abused verse in the history of the church. But look at verse 13, where he says that the judgment day and the fire is going to reveal each one's work. And if that work does not endure, it will be burned up. In verse 17, if anyone then dares to defile this temple, it's with that work, God will destroy him. That obviously could cause great amounts of distress if it's not understood properly. And by the time I'm done, I hope you will understand what Paul is doing and why he led to that conclusion. So Paul is aiming here tonight. What Paul is doing tonight is to say compromise when it comes to the design of Christian ministry, it's very serious. And We should all care a lot about what we do in ministry, what our children are involved with in ministry, what they are receiving in ministry. Why? Because we're dealing with people's souls. We're dealing with eternity. We're dealing with where people go forever. So it's serious. And Christ has told us what to build with. Christ has told us what to do. Christ has told us what it is to look like. And compromise can wreck that. And the struggles of the Corinthian church were all indicative of that compromise, where Paul is going to again address some of those. So what we have tonight, if you're taking notes, I thought I was creative. I'm never very creative with outlines. But the first would be the confrontation over the problem in Corinth. What you have right at the beginning is a major confrontation here for the first time that Paul confronts them directly, finally gets to it, and he hits them. He confronts them. The second is a clarification to answer the problem. So a confrontation, a clarification, and then the conclusion that follows. Chapter 3 begins with Paul's first confrontation to this church. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh." That is a real in-your-face charge, I think. Paul's looking at the church in Corinth and saying something that must have really struck them, especially in that culture, must have been quite offensive to them. "You guys are carnal." You imagine saying that? "You're fleshly. In a sense, you're sinful and you're weak in your entire view of the Christian ministry." And it's really interesting when you look at this to be reminded that he still says it to them as brothers, doesn't he? He believes they're Christians. In fact, even in the rebuke, he's not approaching them and saying that they're without the Holy Spirit, or he's not approaching them and saying that they're some kind of class of carnal Christians, which this is the kind of key verse that gets abused for that, which means you could have faith in Jesus Christ and then proceed to live the rest of your lives in a carnal manner. That's just not biblical. That's not what he's saying here. He's addressing them as believers. He's addressing them as brothers. There's still affection here. But he's saying, "You're still too much of the flesh. Your minds are still worldly and it's in their thinking. You're still too tied to the world and to its values in your assessment of Christian ministry." And he goes on to describe this. He says, "Because of that, I fed you with milk and not solid food. For until now, you still can't receive it." What was the problem? "I fed you with milk, but you're not ready for solid food." We read that and we probably think, well, as I have heard in the course of ministry, there are baby Christians and then there's the real mature Christians. And, you know, the baby Christians start out and they do the loose stuff in worship until they get to real maturity, right? I mean, I've heard this repeatedly in my time as a minister, and that we would be considered as doing the meaty stuff tonight. You know, this would be the meat church. Well, that's not the distinction. It's fascinating that Hebrews says, the author to the book of Hebrews said to them that they needed milk, not solid food. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment." Maturity has everything to do with discernment. Meat has everything to do with discernment. Here's what Paul's saying. What he did when he was among him. What did he do when he was among them? He said, "I fed you with milk." Well, he's been telling us the whole time what he's been doing among them. "I preached to you steadily. I knew nothing else among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I preached the gospel to you. I preached it and I didn't stop." And Paul has been saying the whole time, this is God's wisdom. This is God's power. It pleased Him through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. That was the milk. That was the basic Christian teaching. He preached the cross to them. But here's what happened. They went on from that. I want you to think about that. They went on from that, and that was the problem. They thought the wisdom was seen in moving beyond that to do things in ministry that would work. They didn't go on in that. Do you see the difference? They went on from that, but they did not go on in that. It's never that we get the milk and then we're done with that. It's that we take the milk and we continue to grow in that to maturity. In other words, we never get beyond the basic message of the cross. We never sort of get there and start the Christian life that way and then we're done with it. We go on to maturity in that power. That's what he's been trying to tell us. Growth in the Christian life is seen in understanding as we go forward that there's real power in weakness. And my whole life begins to be shaped in that kind of thinking. That's maturity. In other words, Paul will explain this to them later on, that when he was given a thorn in the flesh, the first thing he thought was, the answer was to just get rid of it. With bang, Lord, take it away. But then he realized, no. The real power in this is that the more that my life is conformed to the death and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, there the power of God rests on me. That's what he's been saying the whole time to them in Corinth. Christian growth is growth of knowing that there's power in the message of the cross, that there's power in my life being conformed to that. It's a theology, the old theologians called it, of the cross. What Paul is saying is to the Corinthians, they never advanced in the basic message of Christ crucified to know its power in their lives. That is so important. There are babes, and they haven't fully tasted this power yet. They haven't experienced knowing Christ in this. Paul says in Philippians 3, in the power even of the resurrection. But instead, they're sacrificing the wisdom of God. They're sacrificing the chosen power of God in the foolishness of the message preached. And doing that, they were sacrificing real changing power in the ministry. This is why Paul said at the beginning that when we then substitute the Christian ministry to use human wisdom, we strip the cross of its power. And that's why this church was full of a host of worldly problems. You could go through this church and it's problem after problem after problem after problem until they understood the reason those problems were there: division, lack of discipline, wrecking the Lord's table, immaturity about spiritual gifts, fighting internally, members suing one another, marital problems, ransacking the church. All of these problems were indicative that they had bought into a worldly view of ministry. And Paul's saying, until you get that, you won't know power. You could ask it this way. Is there something more to the Christian life beyond the cross for now? Do we think that we start with the cross and look for more power? In other words, isn't our lives framed at this point while we suffer a while until we enter into glory? Isn't it framed around and according to the message of Christ and Him crucified? Paul would say we're being delivered to death that the life of Jesus may be manifested or revealed in our mortal bodies. We carry around this treasure in what? Jars of clay. And the greatest evidence of departure from this and lack of growth was what? This is what he was using to launch into this, was their following of men. What are you guys doing? Making the ministry about human abilities and human powers. And he says, that shows you're still of the flesh. You're still thinking like mere men. You're still of the world in your thoughts. Think about it. These divisions demonstrate that. He says that in verse 3. You're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, Are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? See it? You're thinking this is about the power of men. You're aligning with human reasoning around the ones in the ministry whom you think demonstrate the most power. And that indicates total spiritual immaturity. You're all saying, I'm of Paul. And some are saying, I'm of Apollos. And you remember, Apollos was the golden-mouthed preacher of the first century. Powerful preacher. Paul says, that's fleshly. I think of the little farm church pastor. The little faithful farm church pastor laboring in the world. He sees few faces. He endures hardship. He fights discouragement. He has no outer draw. He may be a fine preacher, but nobody would ever come in because he just doesn't have all the stuff. There's nothing about it that appeals to the human flesh. And yet, steadily and consistently, he delivers God's word each and every week. Works hard all week to do that. He preaches the cross. And then there's the hero down at the big city church who has written book after book after book. He's known for his oratory skills, and he draws thousands in, and all eyes are on him. That's the American church. You want to talk about a church full of fleshly-minded people. You think it's about that, says Paul? If you think the power is in the man, if you build your Christianity around him, you're an infant. You're not growing in the true power of God. You're not going forward in the true power of God. You're not going on to maturity. And he can say this, you know, you can say this across the board. Infants think the power is in what? Infants think the power is in the music. Infants think the power is in the buildings. In our own relatability as pastors. And Paul's saying you're sacrificing true power. It's not where the power is. Power's not in our response. At this point, Paul explains for them and clarifies for them what ministers are. And I love how he does that. He doesn't say who. Did you notice that? What ministers are. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each. We're just little slaves. We're farmhands. The Corinthians, I mean, you can kind of feel the offense of this, right? I mean, they were so enamored with the greatest speakers and the greatest abilities. And, you know, here comes Paul and saying, do you know I'm a farmhand? You know that great, powerful preacher, Apollos? He's just a farmhand. You're thinking the power is in the messenger and you've got it all wrong, which indicates it's an entire view about ministry. You've got to rethink here, you know. I love this. It's so good for me to hear. It's so good for all pastors to hear. We're just laborers in the vineyard. That's all we are. And he uses a metaphor even of the garden here, that where there are crops that are planted, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. God gave you messengers to plant in his vineyard. Do you know who we are? We're one sent through whom you believed, right? Paul says we are servants that God used so that you may come to the faith. But Paul says, I planted and Apollos watered. And here he's having them think about the specific tasks of the apostles. You know, in many respects, the apostles themselves were church planters, weren't they? There were certain men sent to go. They planted these church, and they knew what to do with planning. They were peculiarly gifted. They coordinated. They were gifted in this area. And then God would raise up, and then he would send a waterer. He would send a waterer. And I have to say this. This is one of the most misunderstood aspects of church life, that churches go through stages. And there are growth stages. And ministers come and go according to God's own purposes, whenever he wants. I've just come to the conclusion there's no answer as to when it should be. This is God's. He does what he wants when it comes to this. They come and they go because it's the Lord is building that church. He's strengthening that church. He's growing that church. And at sometimes they needed a planter. At another time they needed a water. And they need more waters, different kinds of waters. And the waters do what? We just keep the soil wet. That's my job, you understand. I'm just trying to keep the soil wet. I'm trying to dump water on you. If you stand right here, you'll get spit on. But I am just dumping water, 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 water. That's all my job is. Keep the whole thing wet. But God gives the increase. I love that. That's so important for us to hear tonight, isn't it? He corrects everything by saying, no man ever caused the growth in your life. No man ever was the cause of that. I don't care if you sat under Golden Mouth Chrysostom in the early centuries of the church, or you sat under Charles Spurgeon himself, or you sat under a little faithful farm preacher. Those who faithfully deliver God's word to you were never the cause of the growth. Why do I say that? Well, how many could have sat under Spurgeon and were never born again? Now, that's a scary thing to think about. Chris Gordon will never be the cause of growth in you or your children. He's the instrument. In other words, he's a vessel. And if you ever begin to think it's about, I'm the cause of the growth, if you ever begin to think that the growth of this body, or if the Lord sees fit to build this thing and build it strong and bring in other people, it's not about the man. It's about God's good pleasure to open up heart. In your growth, verse 6, God gave it. Verse 7, he says it again, only God gives the growth. And you've got it all wrong when you divide up men like this. You've got it all wrong when you view men like this. We're one in purpose. Yes, we have different roles, but we're one purpose, and the great assignment given is to build. We'll talk about that in a minute. All ministry is in no way dependent on themselves, the preachers. Not upon those who plant or water. The success of ministry is not ours. Never has been. And why then are we seeing so little of the increase truly of the church today? Because we're all about quick results.
Thankful you've taken time out of day to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. We hope this was a help to you to think through God's design for ministry and to return to Him. The nation of Israel fell into this trap of ruling by the dictates of their own hearts. And we're called to return to the Lord and honor His design that we would build upon the foundation that is given, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning into Abounding Grace Radio. The web address is agradio.org. Till next time, may this gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.